is now 23 before the hour on the Sunrise Morning Show. I'm Matt Swaim, joined now by Diana Von Glahn. She is online at thefaithfultraveler.com, and she joins us live from the Holy Land. Diana, good morning.
Hi, Matt. It's not morning for me. It's 2:30.
That's right. It's afternoon for you. And you got to spend a little time with the priest who has the coolest name in the universe, Father Pier Battista Pizzobola.
Doesn't he have the best name? I love it. And he is also just a wonderfully fantastic man. We were so blessed to interview him this morning, and we got some really good questions and answers with him. And one of our cameramen, it's his birthday today, Patrick Dolan, and so we got him to bless Patrick for his birthday.
Well, that's pretty cool. Now, if people don't know who Father Pizzobola is, talk about his job.
Father Pizzobola's title is the custos of the Franciscans. He is essentially the head honcho out here of the Franciscans. And, you know, as those people who pay attention to what's going on in the Holy Land know, the Franciscans have been custodians of the Holy Land for centuries. You know, going back to, I think, when St. Francis came out and one of the Muslim leaders, you know, decided that they were not a threat. And so he allowed the Franciscans to stay in the Holy Land, and then at some point later on, one of the popes officially gave them custody of the Holy Land. And so anybody who comes here to the Holy Land will notice that the good majority of the Catholic shrines and places of pilgrimage are maintained and taken care of by the Franciscans.
So what parts of the Holy Land trip were you able to be a part of?
Well, there were two trips. There's my trip, and then there's the Pope's trip. The Pope's trip was very short. He was here, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, or Saturday, Sunday, and Monday? I forget. The days are starting to run together for me, so you have to forgive me. And he basically spent 3 days. One day he was in Jordan, one day he was in Bethlehem, and one day he was in Jerusalem. And we were blessed to attend the Mass in Bethlehem, which was absolutely insane. It was just wonderful. And then we were also blessed to attend the meeting between President Shimon Peres and Pope Francis yesterday at the home of the president. So, of course, the Pope did just a whole bunch of things, and a lot of things were only open to certain, you know, press people. And, of course, I don't know that we're really press, but, I mean, we were just so excited to be able to just to go to any of it, you know. So aside from the Pope's visit, we were actually here about a week earlier, and we're going to be here until this Saturday. And so we're going to be filming just around the Holy Land at a variety of different sites. We're going to be producing another special focusing on the Pope's visit, talking a little bit about the historical significance of it, how it, you know, how it ties into the previous visits from the popes, Pope Paul VI, Pope John II, Pope John Paul II, and Pope Benedict XVI. And we're also going to be interviewing a lot of locals from all different walks of faith and different places. We've met a ton of fantastic people so far, and we have some really great interviews lined up as well. So hopefully we'll be able to give people a really good sense of what life is like here in the Holy Land, what they should see, what the Pope's visit was all about, and why we should all be praying for peace. This is, I mean, you know, I'm standing right here in front of the Western Wall. My two cameramen are in the men's section. For those who don't know, the Western Wall is divided by men and women. So the men are on one side and the women are on the other side. So my cameramen are over on the left filming, and I'm standing here and I'm thinking, gosh, this whole country just motivates you to pray for peace. It motivates you to pray for unity among Jews and Christians and Muslims and just anybody, you know. I mean, we're all children of God, and of course Pope Francis spoke about all these things in so many amazing ways. I mean, I've only read a handful of them because our trip has been so insane, but I really look forward to catching up on you know, all the fun things that he's been saying, and I look forward to seeing how it turns out, you know. I mean, I'm excited that he invited the Palestinian president and the Israeli president to his home at the Vatican to pray for peace, and, you know, God willing, or as they say in the Arabic tongue, inshallah, it will happen.
Well, one of my favorite images from the weekend was that image in the Mass that was celebrated in Jordan, where they had, you mentioned the predecessors, John Paul II, Benedict XVI, who have been working for peace, who have been praying for peace in the Holy Land, and that beautiful mural behind the altar that showed John Paul II, Benedict XVI, St. Francis gathered around the manger scene. To me, that was just a great witness to the continuity of these men who were praying for peace in the place where salvation history started.
Yeah, that was actually in Bethlehem. That wasn't in Jordan. The one in Bethlehem.
Bethlehem, I'm getting mixed up.
The popes were on the left, and then on the right-hand side were two Palestinian soon-to-be saints. I think I mentioned it on like my Twitter feed or something. One of them is a Carmelite, and then I forget the order of the other one. Mary of the Crucifix, I think, was one of the names. But there are two Palestinian saints, and that's why they were standing there with St. Francis, because obviously, you know, the continuity between St. Francis and Pope Francis, and then, you know, the concept of the Palestinian soon-to-be saints. I believe one is blessed, and I forget the status of the other one. So, that was an awesome mural. I mean, I think they could have done a little better job on Pope Benedict. But, you know, it wasn't bad. It was really cool to see.
Well, you've got lots of great pictures up on your Facebook page from the weekend. If our listeners want to catch up with you and follow your coverage, what's the best place for them to do so?
Well, definitely check out our website at www.thefaithfultraveler.com. And I am posting pictures as much as I can on Instagram, on Facebook, and on Twitter. And all of the links to those social media sites are on our homepage. So you can find them all there. And, it's hard to blog. In fact, it's funny. I was here with a bunch of Catholic Press Association journalists, and they had such a hard time writing because you're just going, and then you get home and you're exhausted, and the last thing you want to do is write. All you want to do is sleep. So I think I put one blog post up, and hopefully today I'll be able to update people on what's been going on and all the craziness. I mean, some of it's fun. Some of it's amazing the amount of technical difficulties that we've had. I mean, for instance, we were going to start out with a 5-man team, and we ended up with 3 because my husband had a heart attack 2 weeks ago. He's fine, thanks be to God, but, you know, he's home. And then one of our other cameramen came down with the flu. So, you know, but, you know, there is no trip to the Holy Land. There is no pilgrimage to the Holy Land that does not include suffering. And the great thing about a pilgrimage to the Holy Land is that it motivates you and it reminds you to offer it up. And, you know, that's what pilgrimage is all about.
All right, thefaithfultraveler.com is where you can find Diana von Glahn, and she's got lots of great pictures from the weekend, and I'm sure we'll be seeing more of them. Diana, thanks for being with us. Have a blessed day.
Thanks, Matt. I'll be praying for all of you guys.
All right, we'll take it. Got news, weather, and traffic coming up in about 10 minutes on the Sunrise Morning Show. In the meantime, however, it is 20 minutes past 8 o'clock. We're joined now by Diana von Glahn from The Faithful Traveler. You've perhaps seen her on EWTN television. And she joins us on a regular basis with tips on Catholic pilgrimage and travel. Diana, good morning.
Hi, Matt. How are you?
I'm doing well, and I know that Pope Francis has a big trip coming up to the Holy Land, and you're going to be there at the same time. Tell us about that.
Yes, we are so excited. Well, the Pope is going to be in the Holy Land in about 2 weeks. He's going to be there for just about 3 days, and we have been blessed to be invited by the Israel Ministry of Tourism to go out there and film another program about this trip, and EWTN has agreed to broadcast it. So we're really excited. We're going to be out there pretty soon, too. And really, you know, the reason that Pope is going out there is because he wants to commemorate this 50th anniversary of the meeting of Pope Paul VI and Patriarch Athanagoras, who is the Greek Orthodox Patriarch. So the Pope is going to be doing a lot of the same things. He's going to be, you know, stopping in his first place. He's going to be in, Jordan, which we're going to be going to. We are so excited. We've been meeting with the Jordan Tourism Board, and we're going to spend a couple days in Jordan. And it's just going to be amazing. I mean, there's so much to see there. And I know the Pope is going to be excited. He's going to be celebrating Mass in Amman, which is going to be awesome. And then the next day he's going to be in Bethlehem. So it's like from Jordan, which is one country, to Palestine, where Bethlehem is. And then the next day he's going to be in Jerusalem, and he's going to be, you know, meeting with people. He's going to go to the Western Wall. He's going to be meeting with rabbis and the president of Israel, the prime minister, and all that kind of thing. It's going to be amazing.
So, Diana, one of the coolest stained glass windows here in the Cincinnati area that I'll draw your attention to if you ever are up here is at Holy Trinity St. Nicholas Church in the Finneytown area of Cincinnati. They actually have a stained glass window in the back of the church of Pope Paul VI meeting Patriarch Athenagoras.
Oh, that's awesome. Wow. Why did they do that? That's amazing.
Because they're an Orthodox church, and they thought it was a significant meeting, and obviously Pope Francis does too, because it's the history of that meeting that is really being invoked as part of the cause of this trip. So, which of these places have you been to before, and which of these places will be new to you?
Well, Jordan is going to be completely new. We've never been. It's a totally different country. It's right next to Israel, and so we're really excited to be going there and exploring all of the amazing places that a lot of the early Christians went to. I mean, there's an amazing history in Jordan that I think a lot of people don't know, so I'm excited to explore that. A lot of the places that the Holy Father is going to be going to, we've been to a lot of them. He will be at Manger Square. He's going to celebrate Manger Square in Bethlehem, which is the little area kind of outside of all of the churches in Bethlehem. And then he's going to be going to the River Jordan, although he's going to be going on the Jordan side. So when we were in the River Jordan, we went on the Israel side, and he's going to be on the Jordan side. So we're actually going to be able to film that, which I'm really excited about. I can't get over it. Like, you know, the fact that we're going to be going, I mean, you said before the break that we would be following the Pope, and I mean, we're really going to be chasing him. We're going to be like, you know, stalking the Pope. It's like, it's going to be so much fun. Just like trying to get into all the places. I mean, that you wouldn't believe the amount of permissions that we have to get to film all these heads of state and everything. But so we're going to be going there. He's going to the Western Wall, like I said, where we've been. One place that he hasn't been, but two previous popes have been, is Yad Vashem, which is the Holocaust Memorial Museum in Jerusalem, and we're actually going to be able to film there as well. We're so excited. So I don't know if you've ever been to a Holocaust museum. There's an amazing one in Washington, D.C., but I think this is probably one of the biggest, and it has a lot of just amazing relics and things from people who survived and from people who died in the Holocaust. And so it's really, I'm anticipating it to be just a really amazing visit.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And the Jordan River would be a good pilgrimage site just for its significance in Scripture. I mean, this is where Naaman the Syrian had to get baptized because of that was the orders that God gave him through the prophet. This is where Joshua crossed across to go into the promised land. This is where Jesus got baptized.
Yeah. And you know what other place we're going in Jordan, which is really exciting? We're going to be passing the Yabbok River, which is where Jacob wrestled with the angel. I mean, how crazy is that? You know, so it's like, I'm just going to sit by this river and close my eyes and just imagine this whole thing, you know? So yeah, there's a lot of amazing things. And I mean, of course, you know, people can visit a lot of these places. You know, when they go to the Holy Land on pilgrimage with groups, a lot of times they go to a lot of the places that are in Jerusalem and in Bethlehem, which is in the Palestinian territories. But, you know, I would really encourage them to also, if they can, and the tour group operators, if they can, to include Jordan in their trip as well. We're going to be planning a trip in 2015, and I'm going to see, you know, what I can do to include some places in Jordan and make it, you know, really interesting.
Yeah, so this just sounds like a fascinating trip that the Pope Francis will be making. When you go on these trips, especially to the Holy Land, do you take kind of like a reading list of what scriptures you want to read in certain spots?
Absolutely. I think everybody does that. And especially, I mean, since we're going to be filming, you know, I'm going to be reading all of these things before we shoot, because it's, you know, it really kind of, it brings it home. You know, I mean, you know how when we pray, we do the sign of the cross to kind of bring us into this space of prayer, right? And I think when you're in the Holy Land, it's almost like you're looking at the crown jewels in, you know, in England, where you kind of have to like smack yourself and be like, this is real. This is not costume jewelry. This is real, right? So like when you're in the Holy Land, you have to do the same thing. You have to read the scriptures to bring yourself into the space and say to yourself, this is where this happened. This happened right here. And it is so surreal. And it is so, like, you just really have to kind of sit and think and pray to realize that. You know, it's really hard to, and I think a lot of it is because we've seen so many movies and we're really great at pretending, but when you're there, you know, you just kind of have to smack yourself out of that pretend world and say, this is real. And it really is. It's jarring, and it changes your life. I mean, I have never read the Bible since my trip to the Holy Land. I've never prayed the rosary the same. It every time I pray the rosary, every one of those mysteries is a place for me now, and it's so special. So I really encourage people to go to the Holy Land if they can.
Diana von Glahn is with us. She is from The Faithful Traveler, and where can we follow your faithful travel to the Holy Land?
Well, I'm going to be posting like a mad woman on social media, so go to our website, thefaithfultraveler.com, and all of the links are there. You know, we're on Instagram and Twitter and all the crazy stuff. And, you know, we're going to be really active on social media. So we encourage people to follow us. And we don't know what the hashtag is, but I'm sure somebody will come up with it, and then we'll share it all with everyone.
Yeah, if you've got a good hashtag idea, tweet it at me so that we can follow Diana von Glahn and her companions as they travel behind the Pope slightly in the Holy Land in the next couple of weeks. Diana, thanks so much for being with us, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks so much, Matt.
And say hi to Francis for us. Hi, Papa.
I'll try. Bye.
All right. News, weather, and traffic are next on the Sunrise Morning Show on Sacred Heart Catholic Radio. It is the Sunrise Morning Show. I'm Matt Swaim, and we're joined by Diana von Glahn. She is the Faithful Traveler host on EWTN, and she's joining us to talk about Holy Week pilgrimages. Diana, good morning.
Hi, Matt. How are you?
We're doing well, and last time you reminded us of the Pilgrimage of New York, and for those of our listeners who didn't catch that, just briefly tell us what it is.
Yes, it's happening tomorrow, yay! St. Patrick's Cathedral Young Adults Group, and everyone is invited, young or old, are doing the 5th Annual Pilgrimage of New York. They are starting up at the top of Manhattan at the Shrine of Mother Cabrini, and they're walking 13.5 miles all the way down to the Shrine of St. Elizabeth Ann Seton in Battery Park. They've got a great website. They've been telling people all about it, all about the routes and the subway trips and everything, and in case people want to kind of meet in between. So I encourage people to go. It sounds like there's going to be a huge group, and it sounds like the weather is actually going to cooperate. So I'm getting up at 5:00 in the morning to drive to New York City to go out there and do this. I'm so excited. So I hope people can come.
You'll have to let us know how that goes. Diana, when we go through the Lenten series, especially during Holy Week, we like to be involved in Passion Plays and witness Passion Plays. And a lot of people don't realize this, but the bishops, the USCCB, well, back then it was the NCCB, in 1988 came up with some actual criteria for the dramatizations of the Passion, didn't they?
Yes, they did. There are Passion Plays have been going back, way back. I mean, they even started with, you know, the Good Friday, how we read the Good Friday, reading the Gospel during Mass. That was the beginning of Passion Plays. And so what happened was people started developing it and making it more dramatic, and then adding donkeys and horses and camels. And then you have things like Oberammergau, which, you know, includes like half of the city's population and happens every 10 years. But Passion Plays happen in the United States as well, all around the country. So I encourage people to definitely look and see if they can find something. But the point of the bishops was that, you know, a Passion Play is a really, it's obviously a wonderful opportunity to meditate on Christ's Passion, but it also can be a way of abusing certain types of people or creating caricatures of, you know, the biggest thing is, you know, it's a possibility for anti-Semitism and abuse. You know, the thing to remember, and it's funny, I've been reading Father James Martin's book, Jesus, a Pilgrimage, and he talks a lot about it, how, you know, yes, the Jews were the ones who put Christ to death, but Jesus was also a Jew, and so were all the rest of the disciples. So, you know, the thing is to not paint the entire Jewish people as a horrible people, but, you know, recognize that there were bad people in, just like there are today, in every group. And so we don't need to caricature an entire group of people in a bad way. And that's what the bishops were cautioning against.
Yeah, there are a lot of interesting points about a Passion Play and how it can be conducted. Some things to really consider and take into account if your church is doing a passion play. And there are the different sectarian movements, the different parties, as my New Testament philosopher said, teasing the class, my professor in my undergrad said, "All right, guys, come back tomorrow. We're going to talk about Jewish sex and parties." And everybody's eyes got like saucer size, and we're like, "What?" But really talking about the fact that there were Pharisees, Sadducees, there were zealots, there were people who were Essenes and coming at things from all different points of view. And even within Jesus' own disciples, you had people from different Jewish parties. And so as we look at some of the passion plays that go on around the country, you mentioned one overseas in Germany, Oberammergau, but what are some of the ones in the United States that have a really good history that might be of interest to our listeners?
Well, you know, in my I've never been to a passion play in the United States or overseas, aside from, you know, Good Friday Mass. But there's a big one going on in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, which is near the Christ of the Ozarks statue. And I understand that they have a lot of really amazing, it's kind of like a, what's that? Oh, it's kind of like a big, you know, they have a big statue and they have a Bible museum. And so it seems like a really interesting place to go. There's also the American Passion Play in Bloomington, Illinois. Actually, no, I'm sorry, that's Indiana, Bloomington, Indiana. And then there's the Thorn in Colorado Springs. But I'm sure that, you know, if people do a quick online search, they'll find something near you. I think you were saying, Matt, that there was something in your neighborhood.
Well, it's not exactly a passion play, but every Good Friday in the Cincinnati area, in Mount Adams, which is the highest point on the Ohio River in Cincinnati, there's a church up there called Holy Cross Immaculata, and for well over a century, people have been coming. There are steps that lead from the Ohio River all the way up to the top of this hill, and there are hundreds of steps, actually, depending on where you start. And people go, they say a prayer on each step all the way up to the church. Those who want to can go to Mass, although it's usually, you know, elbow to elbow for Mass that day. And, of course, it's not Mass, it's just a communion service. But it's a great tradition. It's one that I try and take part in every year, and it's a great way to remember. I mean, people are, you've got thousands upon thousands of people walking up these steps in complete silence. It's a pretty powerful thing.
Wow. Well, and you know, the great thing is that Holy Week is a wonderful opportunity to get a holy workout, right? You know, you've got walking up those steps. We've got this 13.5-mile trek down Manhattan. And you mentioned earlier that today is the Feast of St. Isidore of Seville. Seville in Spain is one of the most famous places for Semana Santa, Holy Week, where they have their processions when all of the guys dressed in the robes that look like the Ku Klux Klan, although they stole the idea, right? They're called the penitentes or the Nazarenos. They are covered in their distinctive pointy hoods and their robes, and the idea is that they're penitent. They're walking in penance for their sins. And it's one of the most famous and amazing things to see in Spain. So we definitely want to give a shout out to Seville today.
All right, I know they do great things in San Antonio and all across the world, actually. There are different ways that different cultures commemorate the Passion. I know that there's a Hispanic parish that is just up the street from me that actually shuts down a street and does kind of a way of the cross that is enacted through the streets. So there are all kinds of ways for us to really engage in this and really immerse ourselves in the story and try and figure out, if we were in the crowds that day watching this happen, where would our hearts be? Where would our heads be? What would we be thinking of this man who is being ridiculed and crucified? So it's a great opportunity during Holy Week to really immerse ourselves in the story of the Passion of our Lord. And before we let you go, you wanted to mention something about Our Lady of Częstochowa Shrine.
Yes, well, you know, after Holy Week comes Easter, and after Easter comes Divine Mercy Sunday, which this year is bringing us a powerful two Polish punch, where we get the canonization of Pope John Paul II and Pope John the 23rd. So here nearby me, we have the National Shrine of Our Lady of Częstochowa, which is in Doylestown, Pennsylvania, and I'm sure they're going to be having a huge party on Divine Mercy Sunday, because they're going to be celebrating St. Faustina, Divine Mercy Sunday, and the canonization of Pope John Paul II. So if you can make it out there, definitely try to do so. Otherwise, we've got some awesome saints and things to pray for on that day.
You missed a punch, by the way. You said that was a 1-2 punch, but Faustina, John Paul, and Divine Mercy, that's a 3-puncher.
That's true. Well, and then we don't want to leave out Pope John the 23rd.
He's a
number 4 punch. So.
That's right. But not a Polish punch. Right. All right. Well, Diana von Glahn, remind our listeners where they can find you and everything they want to know about the Faithful Traveler.
We are online at www.thefaithfultraveler.com, and from there you can find everything and anything you ever wanted to know about everything we do.
Thefaithfultraveler.com. Thanks so much, Diana, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, thanks, Matt.
You've got the Sunrise Morning Show. I'm Matt Swaim, and with me on the phone from the Faithful Traveler program on EWTN Television is Diana von Glahn. And we are going to begin a series on pilgrimage and travel for the Sunrise Morning Show. Diana, good morning.
Good morning, Matt. Thanks for having me.
You bet. If you're in New York City on April 5th, tell us about a cool group of young adults at St. Patrick's Cathedral who are doing a street pilgrimage.
Oh my gosh, this is so awesome. I just found out about it the other day, and you know, there are no coincidences with God, right? I know that the Holy Spirit wanted me to learn about this. It's called the Pilgrimage of New York, and it's the fifth annual pilgrimage. It's happening this year. And the idea was started by the author Chris Lowney, who went to the Santiago de Compostela, and he wanted to do something similar in Manhattan. And so what they do is they walk through the little island of Manhattan, and they visit different churches. And every year has a different theme. This year the theme is in honor of the Franciscan Order and our Holy Father. And so they're visiting churches named after or devoted to Franciscan saints and to the order. So I'm excited because they're visiting one of my absolutely all-time favorite churches in New York City, the Church of St. Francis of Assisi, which is next to Penn Station. So what they're doing is they're starting off way uptown at the Mother Cabrini Shrine, and then they're walking all the way down Manhattan to the Shrine of St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, which is in Battery Park. And so for those of you who are familiar with The Faithful Traveler, you know that we actually covered that shrine in our first series. So I'm really excited to go. Hopefully we'll have some good weather. Again, the date is April 5th, and the rain date is September 13th, but they've got a really great website. It's www.pofnyc.org, and it gives you the routes, it gives you information about every place they're going. It's really amazing.
Yeah, we've done something similar here in Cincinnati with a scouting group that has done a walking pilgrimage of the many churches here in our area, and you know, walking about 5 or 6 miles in a day, visiting and stopping to pray at all the different churches. I can tell you that I love foot pilgrimages to old Catholic churches.
Yeah, did you guys get chilly on your pilgrimages?
We did not. I think we were trying to be more penitential than that.
See, there you go. And that's the awesome thing about this pilgrimage as well is, you know, on their website, they answer a lot of questions for people who are curious, you know, like, why would I go on a pilgrimage? What am I supposed to do? Like, what do I bring? What do I wear? How do I prepare? Which is great for people who have never been on a pilgrimage, and especially for people who have never walked from the very tip of Manhattan all the way to the bottom. And, you know, they're talking about how you can take it at your own pace, and they provide subway stops in case you get tired so you can just jump on the subway and then meet them at their next place. So they provide a lot of really great information. They even provide prayers, which obviously it's a pilgrimage, so the idea is that, you know, we're going to be doing it in a prayerful spirit. And, you know, the fantastic thing about something like this is that it provides a wonderful witness. You know, Manhattan, I lived in New York for 5 years, and I know that the Catholic presence in Manhattan is amazing, but it's always wonderful to remind people, you know, that we're there, and and the churches in Manhattan are a wonderful way to do it. So,
all right, pofnyc.org. If you're going to be in the New York area around April 5th and you want to be part of that Pilgrimage of New York, now let's move from our country to Rome, the Eternal City, and talk a little bit about the station churches of Rome. What are the station churches, first of all?
The station churches, it's an ancient Lenten pilgrimage that Christians have been doing from, you know, way back in the day when, you know, Christians were being martyred in Rome. And for anybody who's been to Rome, you know that that city is ancient. I mean, you walk around the streets and you think, who died here? Which saints walked in these streets? It's insane being in that city. And so the wonderful thing about the pilgrimage is every year, pilgrims in Rome will visit the station churches, and these churches are dedicated to a variety of saints. So, for instance, today's saints are, in Italian, Santi Giovanni e Paolo, in English, Saints John and Saint Paul. And the church is actually built on the house of two soldiers who were martyred because they refused to honor, you know, they refused to turn away from Christ. And so they were killed, they were buried in their house, and this church that, the station pilgrims are visiting today is built on top of that house. And so the idea is that every day during Lent, you visit a different church, and anyone who's been to Rome knows that there are Catholic churches on every corner. It's wonderful. And so this is a great way to explore them.
The Station Churches of Rome, and I guess George Weigel's new book on the Station Churches is out, so you could do this from your house if you can't make it to Rome.
Absolutely, yeah. Basic Books just published this book. It's called Roman Pilgrimage, the Station Churches. It's available both in hardcover and on Kindle for those of you who have it. And the great thing about the Kindle is that, you know, you can get the color pictures, although the hardcover book does have color inserts. And his son, George Weigel's son, took the photographs, and Elizabeth Lev, who also has a series on EWTN, she's an art historian and she lives in Rome, she provided a lot of the art historical commentary. So the idea is that every day you get a list of the morning office readings and the readings from the Mass. And then, you know, George Weigel talks about, you know, the saints that are, you know, the saints whose churches they're visiting, you know, are dedicated to. It talks about the readings of the day, and it kind of ties it all together. So it's a great way to do the stations from home, you know.
Yeah, it's a great idea. Diana von Glahn has been joining us from The Faithful Traveler, a program you can see on EWTN. And if our listeners are thinking to themselves, man, there's this pilgrimage site that I've been thinking about going to, and I would love to hear Diana, if she's been there, tell me more about it. How can they get in touch with you?
Oh, you can visit us on our website. It's www.thefaithfultraveler.com. We just came out with a series on the Holy Land, so that is going to be re-airing on EWTN either in May or June, and I'll definitely provide more information about that. And we're also going on a pilgrimage ourselves in June, so anybody wants to come with, you can find all that information on our website, www.thefaithfultraveler.com.
Thefaithfultraveler.com. Diana, thanks so much for being with us, and we look forward to next month's visit.
Awesome. Thanks, Matt.